I might even edit this, so I start with this story and then get into the video actually, guys. I'm sat with my dad in Barcelona, and he's trying to convince me to move to Spain. He said there's no life for you here and whatnot. I then just thought that he was on a high, and then a few years later, he's dying, he's on his deathbed, he's laid in bed, and I'm sat next to him, and he turns to me and he says, "Look, mate, I'm dying." He was like, "I'm done. I'm fucked." That's how he used to speak. He was like, "I'm fucked." And he said, "I'm out of here soon." And he was like, I was like, "Nah, you'll be right, Dad." He was like, "No, I know. I'm out of here soon." He's like, "I'm fucked." And he said, "Let me give you a piece of advice." He said, "I waited until I was like in my late 40s, 50s to make the move to Spain, to make the move into Europe, to move out in the UK, to go and live my life." He went to South America for a little bit as well. He said, "Do me a favor. Don't you dare wait until you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s. He said, "Do it when you're young." He said, "That's when you get the most benefit from it." I didn't listen, and I just stayed and I grinded, and it was the correct decision because it grew my business, and I needed to be in a tier one city. I needed to be surrounded by opportunity to get to where I am today. But now that I'm free, I'm going to heed his advice. Reason being, your dad is one of the only people alive, and this is why I hate. This is the thing I hate most about not having him around, is he's one of the only people alive that have nothing but pure intentions for you. He has no agenda. He's not trying to get money out of you. He's not trying to sway you in a certain direction. If you slept with the most beautiful woman in the world, he wouldn't be jealous. He'd be proud. There's not many people that can do that for you, right? And when he's on his deathbed, that's a 100x effect. Because what I mean by that is he has no agenda. He knows he's dying. He literally had like 2 weeks left until he died. He knew that. He had absolutely no agenda as towards what I should do in my life. He's not going to benefit from it. It came from a very pure point of view of, when I'm gone, I want you to be okay. That holds very strongly in my heart and my mind when you think about that, guys. He has absolutely zero agenda. He gains nothing from it. He's your dad. He wants nothing but the best for you. You should heed that advice.
I think this year we're set to lose 16,000, roughly 16,000 millionaires. We're losing more millionaires than anybody else.
World's largest hedge fund.
And now to warn us about what lies ahead.
Are you optimistic about the future of the UK?
No.
They're pushing digital ID on these people. Mm. And once they do digital ID, they're going to attach it to a social credit score. Yep. They're going to attach it to a carbon footprint score. And then they'll be able to control your movement and control you entirely. And most importantly, they've already arrested 12,000 people for social media posts. It's like someone's trying to destroy England. It's literally like they've got a concerted effort to destroy England, and they're getting away with it. Panic on the streets of
London. Oh, boys, welcome back. What a trip that was. I was away for like a month, month and a half. Went over to the house in Granada. We did the trip to France. Drove all the way, drove about 7,000 miles. Went over to Barcelona, sewn up the VIP seats. Everything sorted, so crazy. 1MI has just blown up. It's just taken off. Endless number of signups, which is great. Everything we ever wanted. It's a nice feeling. And I'm back here now. However, and I feel devastated to say this, but I think I'm going to have to leave the UK. I'm actually devastated, guys. Seriously. I made that video maybe 8 months ago saying that you don't have to leave the UK. You can stay in this place. Stay here. It's brilliant. It's got everything that you need. And I still believe in that. I still think, if somebody said to me, what's the best city in the world on its day? I would say London or New York. You know, on its best day, when it's like thriving, probably London or New York, or, you know, you could argue somewhere in Europe, like a Paris or a Barcelona, but on its day, I think London, New York, when it's at its best, you can't beat it. And I want to get two things clear. People say about the weather, it's not that bad. I mean, look behind me now, it's sunny, it's not that bad. You get like, it gets cold, yeah, which isn't ideal, but then you get nicer fashion, it's not too bad, and people say it rains every day. London doesn't rain that much. I don't know what it is about London, but it doesn't rain that much. It's like, I don't know, since I've lived here in the last year, I mean, maybe I've been lucky with it, but it's been all right. It just rains for like an hour or two, and then it goes, and you can get back outside, and the city's so big, and there's so many indoor areas, it doesn't matter. So the weather doesn't bother me. I actually like winter and autumn. I've always said this, so that's not an issue for me, like it is for a lot of people. When it comes to crime, it's not that bad. I mean, it could be different for me. I'm a 6'2" man who knows how to fight, and I don't look small, but like, I've never had an issue. I've never had any problems, so I don't really know what people are talking about. But I mean, you've got the issue of what about your kids? What about your wife? So yeah, I do get that. It could be an issue. And I definitely feel less safe here than I would in Madrid, for example, that I was in around about a week ago, or a week today. That is significantly safer, and I felt a lot better. I mean, as soon as I got back to London on the Monday, I took my watch off. So it's probably not a good sign, so there's that, but I've never really had any danger. But for me, it's a few things, okay? Number one, it's a personal thing. 1MI is just every single... I mean, I've just got back from a trip where I paid 2 months' rent, and I'm only here for 3 weeks out of 8. That's pretty bad, right? Out of 2 months' rent payments, I'm here for 3 weeks out of 8 of them. That's really bad. So for 5 weeks, I'm getting no value for my money. So I've been thinking of it for a while. Then next month, in 2 weeks, I'm going on another 1MI trip. So, I mean, that's 3 weeks at home, 2 weeks away. Then 5 days later, I'm going on another 1MI trip, where for the entire duration, the 7 days and the five, I'm away for both because I'm going back to Granada. So then collectively, you think over the period of 3 months, I'm home for 6 weeks. That's terrible. So for me, it's a personal thing where I'm never home. But it has been strengthened because I would have been back in December. I would have been back for half of January. I mean, we got the Barcelona VIP seats going live and I would have been back. But like, yeah, for me, it was just... I think when people like Ray Dalio start saying, and I used to work in finance, so when Ray Dalio speaks, you listen. And he said that he doesn't look good for the UK. It was like, the UK's kind of cooked, it's kind of finished. And I think when he says it, you got to listen to it. So I don't think the future is great for the UK. I think right now it's okay. But I think in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, it's going to be a shit show. And I'll tell you why. What they did was they made the cost of living so high that people couldn't afford it. So what people had to do was stop doing the shitty jobs. When people stopped doing the shitty jobs, they needed people to come in. So what they did is they went and hired a lot of Polish people, Bulgarian people, Eastern European people all came in. This was probably 10 years ago now, if not more, maybe 15, 20. They came in, they saved the economy because they did the jobs that the natives, if you would, didn't want to do. So they were cleaners, they were plumbers. When everyone else was going to university, they were just taking on any job that nobody wanted to do. They were bin men, they were builders, they did it all. They saved up their money. They did it for less than anybody else would. They saved up their money and they went and bought homes back in Poland. And now a lot of them have left. A lot of them have gone back. A lot of them have built lives in other areas. So when they left and they took the money with them, which you don't blame them, they haven't done anything wrong. They just took the money with them. They went and Poland is now thriving. They went, okay, we need more immigrants from different areas of the world. And because most parts of the world now are getting their shit together, you know, the parts of the world that used to be civilized but broke, they're now having to look further afield. So they've gone, okay, we're going to bring in people from war-torn countries who have no problem raping people on a daily basis. We're going to have people who have no problem with stealing, going to prison. They're used to it. This is just their daily life, okay? Not ideal. I actually live in Canary Wharf, and 500 meters that way is the Britannia Hotel, if not less. Probably 200 meters that way is the hotel where all the riots are happening. See if I can bring something up on screen now. It's endless riots, and every single day people are protesting, and I pay good money to be here, and I'm just like, why am I bothering? Now they tell me inside that hotel are 500 people who are, they're all men within their 20s and 30s, all of what they say fighting age. I would say I don't feel as safe as I did before, especially when I walk around at night and they let them go for a walk and you can see them. And some of the guys look a little bit shifty. It looks, they caught one guy sneaking into a woman's house and he's a former rapist. And They say something like 70-80% of them have got criminal records. I don't know what my government are doing, and it's just disappointing. It is wildly disappointing. And they put the cost of living up so high that they then had to raise taxes to make up for the deficit where they lost so much money and they're in massive debt. Now, who do they tax? They tax rich people. Okay, it's a strategy, but do you know what happens when you tax rich people more? They leave. So it brings me on to my other point. All my friends are leaving. All my friends are leaving. They're all going to different places. I've got nobody to hang out with here anymore. It sucks. And on top of that, when the best people leave, so rich people are usually the best people because they want to live a civilized lifestyle. When they leave, when that quality leaves, when ambitious people leave, when jobs leave the economy, it's a shit show. It's a complete shit show. So the best people are leaving, the worst people of the UK are staying, and the worst people are being let in. And I was like, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to fight for my country and stuff like that. And I was speaking to a guy from One in Mine, and he said to me, why suffer? He was like, why are you suffering? He was like, why don't you just be selfish? Like, you have no allegiance to your country. He was like, it's not like that anymore. You know, you have no allegiance to stay here and protect it. Like, my dad was living in Barcelona when he was alive. My sister doesn't live in the UK. And it's just like, this. Like, what am I doing? What am I protecting? What am I going after? I mean, it doesn't really add up to me. My business is pretty much in Spain. I got the Barcelona VIP seats. I have a life there. All my friends are there when I go over. I have a house there. I'm buying house 2 very soon, not far from there. And it's like, I have nothing here. I'm just paying rent here. This is pointless. So in reality, I actually have no ties to this place. My government have fucked the country up, sadly. And there's no point in me really being here yet. I'm just paying high rents just to sit inside and work and wait for the next One in My event, which is fine, but it's unnecessary. I keep checking my phone in case the battery's going. I know it was low. I've got my mic being recorded through that if you're wondering why I keep looking. So for me, it's just like, what am I doing here? I'm just paying high bills just to sit here and do nothing, really. I've got a nice backdrop, but I'll just record 52 videos for you guys for the year, and I just schedule them every week, so I'm just like, what's the point? I've got places I can go all around the world. Here's the other thing as well. I think we're being lied to in the UK. So for me, what was eye-opening was going over to Bali and Marrakesh. Now, do I think they're the most ambitious places in the world? No. Marrakesh more than Bali. But do I think they're good? Yeah. Could I live there? Yeah, I probably could live there. Would I be massively happy? Probably not. I'm the type of person who needs to kind of move from place to place, but I could live there. I mean, the quality, don't get me wrong, like when you're going through Bali, you see a homeless guy with like no clothes on, same in Marrakesh and stuff, and a couple crazy people and whatnot, and they're doing concrete in barefoot, and you're thinking, what the hell, there's no health and safety. And then next door is a massive like fitness club, and it's state of the art, worth millions, most beautiful place you've ever seen, and you think, okay, that's weird, but you do then realize that's the future. And it's like the African situation where instead of going from a Nokia to a flip phone to a BlackBerry and what, they just go from nothing to iPhone 17. They go from nothing to 1 gigabyte Wi-Fi. And that's the problem with the current state of the West, is we've built everything on old world. So if you dig under London, you'll find old London. There's literally an old London underneath London. Like sometimes the streets break and you can have a look through the gaps. There's an old London down there. Okay, and sometimes you walk around and you see telegraph poles with cables on and stuff, and it's ugly. Nobody wants to see that. Everything should be underground, but because it's been built on an old structure, it stays. There's so many things now when you walk around that are old, that are outdated. And I watched a video from this guy who said that Europe has become a museum. He said especially England. And I was like, do you know what? I think he's right. It's a little bit dirty. It's starting to smell a little bit compared to everywhere else because we've got old systems. Whereas new places that can start fresh. And the one that exposed it for me was Marrakesh. I went out to Marrakesh. And the first kind of like couple hours, we went down to the Medina. And I was like, this is a shithole. This is the ugliest place I've ever seen in my life. I don't want to be here for a week. But then we went to a place called Salman Hotel. And it was 5-star luxury. And it was a life that you only get in the movies. And then we ended up finding this area called Hivernage, where they had Louis Vuitton, they had Nobu, they had the casino, rooftop bars in Nobu where we were sat there. And you know, you've got everything you ever need. And the amount of wealth that was there, the level of cars that people had and stuff like that, guys, it was insane. It was crazy, and it hit me. It was like, yeah, London is better than this right now, but I know where it's going in the future. And Morocco are hosting the World Cup in 2030, along with Spain and Portugal. I think Bali's going to get ruined by the locals leaving, because the locals are the nicest people I've ever met in my life. But the way that that place is an opportunity right now for a gold mine, where you can buy land, you can buy whatever, it suits my business down to a T, because Aman Resorts is my target. I want to be on the level of Aman Resorts. A-M-A-N. A-M-A-N. Go and have a little search. I want to get on that level, and we have plans to do it. We have plans to create resorts. It's actually pretty easy to do for us, because we have so much land available to us. We have a lot of money available to us now. 1MI has done very well. So, you know, it's on the table. We've got a plan. We know what we're going to do. And I've been researching Aman a lot, and I see how they've done it. And it's pretty cheeky how they've done it. And I'm like, I can replicate the model. The owner's done it twice. He sold the first company for $350 million, and I'm like, I'm not going to sell, but I'm like, I could easily replicate that model, because he went straight back to doing it again because it was so profitable. So I'm like, I can do the same. Now, if I wanted to buy a house in London, which I was planning to do, it's £800,000 for a box. Whereas if I wanted to go and get one in Marrakesh, if I wanted to get one in Bali, or if I wanted to get one like they did in Thailand, where the first place they bought was, it was a coconut plantation, you look at it and you just think, my God, it's peanuts. And you should see what you can get in places like Marrakesh. I did a little bit of research, and it's like, my God, that's the biggest house I've ever seen. I'd be living like a sultan. It's ridiculous. And you're just like, why am I suffering? Why am I bothering to be here? Why am I doing this anymore? My friends are leaving. Everybody's negative here. Everyone's low energy. And, you know, it doesn't mean I'm going back on my word and saying, because look, the most beautiful women in the world are still here. Hands down, they're still here. They're still in Paris. They're still in New York. The wealthiest people are still here in New York, etc. I know people have left, but there's still a ton of money here. The most opportunities are still here in New York, Tokyo, whatever. It's still in the big city. It has to be. It's tier one. It's still here. I walk around here. I have a time in my life. I love it. There's endless restaurants, the best chefs, the best everything. But we live in a modern world now where you don't need to live in one place. And this is kind of my point in the video, is that I don't think it's ever been more substantial than it is now in terms of laptop lifestyle. I think people used to speak about it in the past, but I think it's so prevalent now, and I think it's easier to do than it ever has been before. I think now you can't just like work from a laptop now. You can run an entire organization. You can run an entire business. You can run it very fucking well as well. I mean, I can wake up in the morning on my phone and post a reel on Instagram via CapCut, via footage that has been sent to me to my phone. As I speak, I have leads coming in for 1MI on my phone while I just sit and talk to you guys. The only thing I'd lack is the backdrop. But like, we're going to so many beautiful locations with 1MI, it's like, I'll just do that. And then I had to look at property when I was in Madrid, Marbella, all these different places, and I was like, this is so cheap. Like, the level of lifestyle that you can have is just next level. And I just think the idea of living in one place now is dead. Because I love London. I love the UK. I'm very patriotic. I think it's one of the best countries that's ever existed. I love what we stand for. We're just losing what we stood for. That's the problem. And if I stay and everyone else leaves, then I'm standing for nothing because everyone's left. And it's like, I'm the last idiot there going, oh, I should have left too. And I do have plans to leave in 2 months. My rent's going to be due. My rent's going to run out. My contract, sorry. So I'm just going to leave, I think. And I have my plans in place. But I just think people say, where are you going? It's like everywhere. I'm going everywhere. I'm just going to be a man of the world. I just want to live that James Bond lifestyle I always dreamt of. I think I'm just going to buy a car, left-hand drive. Otherwise, it'd be a nightmare for car parks. And I think I'm just going to bounce around Europe wherever I'm needed. I mean, we have a trip in 2 weeks. We have a trip in 3 weeks. I'll book another one in for December. We'll book another three in for 1MI. We do one a month, basically. So, you know, and then if I buy a house too and I'm working on that and I do my plans for Granada and what I'm planning to do for that, it's just like, I don't need a set location. I'm never here anyway. But on top of that, like I said, they've destroyed my country. And it's so sad. I saw Mike Thurston did a vlog the other day. He was walking down the street. And he saw homeless people. I see homeless people all the time and I don't think anything of it. But he was shocked.
Interesting. I didn't know Oxford Street was hosting a sleepover event this evening. Everyone's out and about. Just chilling. Just chilling. Lovely. Lovely stuff. That really is nice. Anybody else? I might join them, you know. I might join them and have a little couple of ciggies, a few more beers, and just talk the night away. What is going on, London? Sort it out.
We gotta go there.
That is ridiculous.
That is weird.
You got that in Latvia?
A little bit. So, I assume you have many opinions right now about London.
Yeah, many opinions will probably get me in trouble or cancelled. So I'll just keep them to myself.
He was like, what the hell is going on? I'm shocked. He wouldn't have been shocked 5-6 years ago. But because he's lived in Dubai for so long, he's got used to a certain type of living, he was shocked. And then you go, oh yeah, maybe his reaction is more normal than mine. Like, I would see it and be like, eh, it's not nice to look at, but there's homeless people everywhere, it is what it is. But he was so shocked, and it's like, yeah, maybe that should be the reaction. Maybe it should be, what are we doing here? Why are these people on the street? I'm not sure. But it's, they just put the cost of living up so high, and people like me, it's fine, it's not a problem, but it's like, why would I bother? I could have a much better quality of life not living here. And all of my friends, which is all the one in my guys, we all hang out all the time. They don't come visit me here unless we do a meal, but like, they don't come visit me here. They visit me at the houses. I see them when I go to the events. And when I'm at the events, I get more content for the business. It just, it, everything ties in, everything checks out. There's no point in me being here anymore. And it's sad. It is sad, but the government have ruined this country. And I love this country. And I said to you guys, I love just grabbing a coffee, walking around London with a nice big coat on and just being like, look at this beautiful place. Look at the palaces. Look at the history and whatnot. But it's just, if the best people leave, the worst people stay and the worst people come in, you've got the worst of two evils. And the best people aren't staying here. And it's just like, the way I see my life is between like Granada, Madrid. I want to get a place in Doha because I think it's going to be a great spot in the future. I want to get a place in Marrakesh. I want to get a place in New York. I want to get a place in Marbella. I kind of just want to float around. I want to get a car in Europe and just drive. Like, I want to be in the south of France. It's Monaco Grand Prix. I'm just going to drive over. I want to drive over to Milan, Turin, Budapest. We got a trip in Budapest. I'm just going to drive straight through and just be a man of the world and just live nowhere, really, and just be nomadic. Because it's like, you don't even need a base anymore. It kind of ties you down. And we got leads coming in left, right, and center, guys. This is brilliant. But yeah, I'm so sad. I'm so sad. But I do think in 5 years' time, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you two stories. So I'll tell you the other one first. So I might even edit this. So I start with this story and then get into the video actually, guys. I'm sat with my dad in Barcelona, and he's trying to convince me to move to Spain. He said, there's no life for you here and whatnot. I then just thought that he was on a high. And then a few years later, he's dying. He's on his deathbed. He's laid in bed and I'm sat next to him. And he turns to me and he says, look, mate, I'm dying. He was like, I'm done. I'm fucked. That's how he used to speak. He was like, I'm fucked. And he said, I'm out of here soon. And he was like, I was like, nah, you'll be right, Dad. He was like, no, I know. I'm out of here soon. He's like, I'm fucked. And he said, let me give you a piece of advice. He said, I waited until I was like in my late 40s, 50s to make the move to Spain, to make the move into Europe, to move out in the UK, to go and live my life. He went to South America for a little bit as well. He said, do me a favor. Don't you dare wait until you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s. He said, do it when you're young. He said, that's when you get the most benefit from it. I didn't listen. And I just stayed and I grinded, and it was the correct decision because it grew my business and I needed to be in a tier one city. I needed to be surrounded by opportunity to get to where I am today. But now that I'm free, I'm going to heed his advice. Reason being, your dad is one of the only people alive, and this is why I hate, this is the thing I hate most about not having him around, is he's one of the only people alive that have nothing but pure intentions for you. He has no agenda. He's not trying to get money out of you. He's not trying to sway you in a certain direction. If you slept with the most beautiful woman in the world, he wouldn't be jealous. He'd be proud. There's not many people that can do that for you, right? And when he's on his deathbed, that's 100x effect. Because what I mean by that is he has no agenda. He knows he's dying. He literally had like 2 weeks left until he died. He knew that. He had absolutely no agenda as towards what I should do in my life. He's not going to benefit from it. It came from, what I'm trying to say is, it came from a very pure point of view of, when I'm gone, I want you to be okay. That holds very strongly in my heart and my mind when you think about that, guys. He has absolutely zero agenda. He gains nothing from it. He's your dad. He wants nothing but the best for you. You should heed that advice. And then when you have people like Ray Dalio saying, I don't have big hope for the UK, I think the UK's finished. I watched a video the other day on Nomad Capitalist, who I really respect. And I've been watching his content for years, and he said the UK's got plans to double taxes because they're just in so much debt. And you just think, what am I doing? If they bring in these digital IDs, if they stop you traveling, it might actually get to a point where they're not letting citizens leave. And you think, they've ruined it. They've ruined the country. They're making it worse every single day. Every time you think, that's enough, I'm happy with it, I can live in this, they make it worse. And then you go, digital ID, I don't watch porn anyway. You're like, I'm fine. And then they make it worse. They say, we're going to do digital ID. Sorry, I thought the camera went off. But they're going to say, we're going to do digital ID so you can access your money. And then somebody close to my sister, called me. And they said, I got taxed on my savings. I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, I had a big lump sum in my account, and they called me and said, we're going to tax you on your savings because it's just sat there. You've already been taxed on that money. And I was like, that's the last straw for me. If they've started taxing our savings after already being taxed to get those savings, it's just like, and now they're on about doubling those taxes. Digital IDs, guys, it's a slippery slope. Before you know where you are, it's just a state of, it's just an emergency state, where it's just like, we need money for the economy. We're going to come and take 100K out of your account, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think before that happens, while I'm in the great situation I'm in now, it's time to go. And I'm devastated because I love the UK, and I'll come back and I'll visit London, and I'll visit the Cotswolds because it's so beautiful. And there's so many great parts of the UK and the history and stuff like that, but it has become an outdated museum. And it was fine. Like, literally, when I made the last video, it was fine. I loved it. But they have ruined it. And travel broadens the mind. And going to Bali, going to Marrakesh, going to 10 different parts of Spain, going up to Cap Ferret and seeing Bordeaux. And Bordeaux, I actually think, was ruined as well. I think Bordeaux's gone the same way. People tell me Paris has gone the same way. And you just think, God, they're just destroying the old worlds. It's terrible. It just doesn't give me a lot of hope for the future. And if somebody gave me a choice, live in Bali or London, I'd still pick London. Of course I would, like 100%. But it's just the fact that I saw what was coming. Because I know in 10 years' time, if somebody said to me, would you rather live in Marrakesh or would you rather live in London? In 10 years, I'd say, give me Marrakesh. That's crazy. And people would say, really? Like, Marrakesh, isn't it a third world? Guys, honestly, I encourage you lot. Go out there, go to the Hivernage area. You walk around and you go, why is everyone a multimillionaire? Why is everyone worth so much money? Why does that guy have a Ferrari? Why does that guy have a Lamborghini? Why is that guy just pulled up in a Bugatti? Why is there supermodels everywhere? Like, what the hell is going on? Have we been lied to? And it's like, yeah, a little bit, yeah. We have been lied to, because I saw some statistics the other day. It said the average family in the UK has about $3,000 to $5,000 in savings. The average family in just Budapest had about $28,000 in savings. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true at all. It was ChatGPT. But that's supposed to be a poor area of the world. And if you look at the wages, the UK dwarfs. Obviously, it's Hungary, but I'm just saying Budapest as a city, because Hungary in general would have been too low. But you just think it's supposed to be a poor area of the world. The reason it isn't is because their cost of living is so low. It's so easy to live there. I mean, I met a guy when we did the Airbnb there back in this time last year, roughly about a month's time. And I said to him, I was like, what do you do for work? And he was like this. He was like, I've got 3 Airbnbs, I rent them out, and I live down by the water. He was like, I've got a lovely life. He was like, people like you, with all due respect, come in, give me a chunk of money. He was like, and that's enough to live for like 6 months. I was like, this guy has an amazing quality of life. I mean, I think this might have been the final straw for me. I was in Granada in the morning and got a coffee for £1.20. When you do the conversion, it's about £1.20. We then landed in the UK. I got back here. I went and got a coffee from over the road. It was £5.80. That used to be £5, which was still too high, but it used to be £5. It was £5.80. So I did the maths on if I just had one coffee a day living in Granada and if I had one coffee a day living in London. It's £1,600 per year that's going in your back pocket just from having a coffee. If that's just coffee, imagine what else it would be. And I worked out, minus my rent, minus all my living costs, minus everything, I'm saving £7,000 per month by not living here. And I was just like, okay, that's it for me. That's probably it. I don't know if I can be bothered anymore with all the other criteria thrown in, with the riots that are going outside my house and the cost of living and the way that the government just don't give a shit about us. I'm just like, yeah, this could be it for me. This could be it. Knowing that I can just travel the world, I can be nomadic, I can just get my car, drive around Europe, just have the time of my life, be surrounded by 1MI members. The business flourishes when I'm on site. The business flourishes when I'm there. The business is going to flourish if I can have an extra £7,000 a month to throw at it. I mean, that's another event every month. That's end of the year. That's another deposit down on land or a house or whatever we want to do, or a massive construction project. We're on the verge of having two massive resorts, and I'm just like, let's go. The Barcelona VIP seats go live in January. I want to be there for the whole month watching games. It's just lined up for me, and it's a real fucking shame, guys. It's a real shame because this is one of the most beautiful countries in the world when it's good. And when London is great, and I'm talking like late June, and there's no violence and there's nothing happening, and you're down in a rooftop bar down near Sloane Square or Mayfair or something like that, and you're sat there and you're surrounded by wealthy individuals who all want success in life, and it's the most beautiful part of the world, and you're having fun. It is like, it's unmatched. It's unmatched, which I can still experience. I can still come back. I can still enjoy it. But, and like I said, I don't care about the weather, and I don't think there's much crime. Like, I don't see it. I don't see the crime, but it's just the way that the government are just fucking suffocating us day by day. They just want more and more and more and more, and the laws are stupid. And some immigrant could come into this country, they could stab me on the street and I would get arrested for being at the end of their knife. And it's just like, what is going on? What's happening? We're being dismantled from the outside. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know who has control over us. I could pick three countries. I think it probably is. But somebody is paying our government officials to destroy the country from the inside. And it's just fucking disgusting. And it's just like, why would I suffer anymore? Why would I sit here? Why would I suffer? Why would I go through this shit when everyone else is leaving? All my friends are leaving. My business is outside of this. My life is outside of this. All my friends are moving outside of this. I can have a wonderful life outside. Every time I travel for 1MI, I mean, I've just been away for what, 5 weeks? 6 weeks? I didn't miss it.
I'm just going to put it on record. I like my life.
It's nice, isn't it? I wish I could have your life, Chris. If only I could sign up and pay £2,000.
The end of a fantastic trip. We got all the boys in there. The cleaner is arriving in 11 minutes and we are out of here. And we all, in the same moment, two or three of us turned to each other and everyone agreed. We all just said, we haven't paid anything for this. This has been a little bit of fuel. We've just driven over here and we're just walking around for free. It's cost us nothing. It's one of the best days of our life. We're just walking around on the dune. We've got the sea there. We've got all of our friends here. It's cost us nothing. It's not 100K in a five-star hotel in Dubai for a month with the Lamborghini downstairs. Just walking around with the boys, sun shining. That's what life is all about. That's what 1MI is all about.
That's the first time ever I didn't miss it. I really didn't want to come home, and that's the first time, because I was sat on a rooftop in Madrid in 30-degree heat just going, what am I going back for? This is just pointless. I was like, this is amazing. I'm in October and it's boiling. I'm sat in Granada in October and I'm tanning. That's the other thing. You've been there, like, once you've been there 3-4 days and you've got a bit of a tan, bit of colour in your face, you look better, you feel better. You're hitting the gym every day. Everything's cheap. I mean, I was in Madrid and I went to a Michelin star restaurant. I bought out of control. I spent as much money as I could and it was still £280. In London, it would have been 600. I did the maths. I was expecting a massive bill. It was 280 and I was like, it's a place that Real Madrid players go to, and it was dirt cheap. Then I got an Uber back or a taxi back and I was like, oh, a taxi would be more expensive, but I'll do it. All the way back to my hotel, it was €9. I was just like, what's the point? When I was in Bali, it was free. I mean that respectfully. I thought it was free. I was literally living for free. It was like £1 to do anything. And then Marrakesh, I thought it was, again, I thought it was pretty much living for free. It was crazy. I honestly think if I just traveled around the world and just went to all these trips with 1MI, had the time of my life, just picked a few bases, just stayed in a place for 3 months, moved on, 3 months, moved on. Just kept doing the trips with all the guys, used Granada as my base and just keep flicking back and forth and buy the second location, third location, fourth location, just keep letting the brand grow. It'll get to a point where I'm worth about 100 million and I just don't really need to care at that point. I can live anywhere I want. But like, yeah, I like the freedom, guys. I like the detachment. I don't mind sleeping on a mattress on the floor or sleeping on the sofa. The guys at 1MI will vouch for that. The other day in Granada, we had a full house, so I went on the sofa. I have no issue with it. I like being tie-free. I don't like having stuff. I'll take all this furniture over to the house again. I'll take it to the house too, whatever we do next. I'm not too worried. I don't really worry about this sort of stuff. But what I do want is peace of mind for me and peace of mind for like my kids. Because I don't think I'm more than 2-3 years away from having kids. Probably about 3. I've always said I want to be 35, 36, 37. Which I'm 33 now. And although I'm safe when I walk around London, would my kids and my wife be safe? The answer is probably no. The answer is probably no. They wouldn't be as safe as I would be. Would they have a better quality of life if we just kind of traveled around international school, went from place to place and then picked the best location? Yeah. And Tristan Tate said something very, very good. Very good. He said, would I live between Dubai or London? And he was on about, and I'm not going to Dubai because I just don't like the culture. I think I'll take a trip, but I don't like the culture. That's why I like Doha. I think Doha is a little bit, it's still got the strong morals. And I will visit Dubai, but I'm 100% not going to live there. It's not for me personally. But he said, if it was a choice between a Victoria's Secret model and a Victoria's Secret model with AIDS, and I like Tristan. I think Tristan's a very wise man. He's somebody I respect. He said, obviously, I'm going to pick the Victoria's Secret model without AIDS. And his example was in the UK, for example, if it had the tax laws that Dubai has, if it had the weather, if it had the life setup and everything, if it had all the facilities, but it just still had the crime. He was like, it's pointless, isn't it? And that's the Victoria's Secret model example he used. And he just said, like he'd be fine. He'd be fine. He's like a 6'4", you know, lunatic with crazy hands. He can kickbox. Like, he's a former, yeah, it's not legit, but it's a former world champion. He's still a trained guy. And he'd still, you know, he'd be fine, but it's his kids. It's his wife. It's his, you know, it's his missus, whatever it would be. Like, it's his friends. It's his family. It's his whoever's around him. And even then, like, the thing is, somebody could stab you. And there's been enough people who have been stabbed for a watch. And it's just like, yeah, is there any point? But it's, for me, it's more what you can get for your money. Like, in somewhere like Marrakesh, you can get a mansion. I mean, I'm talking like 100,000 square foot in a really nice area that's about to pop off. And you think you're like next to Louis Vuitton, the casino and the Nobu Hotel. And you're just like, that sounds very nice to me, especially with winter sun. Versus this place that I live in is beautiful. It's lovely. I love this place. It's fantastic. But it is just, it's a one bed apartment with a nice view. That's pretty much all it is. It's okay. Does the job. We've had, you know, 15, 16, 18 people in here for meals and it's done all right, but it's not massive. And this is 650,000, probably closer to 700,000 now because it's been a year since I lived in it. You know what London prices are like. The demand goes flying through the roof and all the facilities are open in the building now, which means it would have gone up. 700,000 in somewhere like a Marrakesh or a Bali or Thailand or whatnot. What it would get you would be outrageous. And the fact now that I can run my entire business from a laptop and the fact that it actually flourishes, that's the thing that I don't need anything. Like, if I need investment, if I need investors, I'll come here and or New York probably, and I'll just live there for 3 months and just do endless investor meetings. So it's like, I'm fine. I've ticked every single box. I don't need to be here now. For me, it's actually sorted. But it's a shame. It's sad because I'd love to stay here for 5 years. That was my plan. But they've ruined it. They've completely ruined it and it's got less safe. It has, the tax has gone up and they're on about putting it up even more. They've got more control over people now. They're starting to tax people on their savings, which means your money just isn't your money. They can just dip their hand in anytime they want, which for me is theft. I just can't be bothered anymore. I just can't be bothered. And I am the biggest advocate of London in the UK. I love it. I've said many a time and I will come back and I'll enjoy it. And I love the culture. I really do. I would miss that. But my Spanish is getting a little bit better and I'm just like, what's the point? I just, I just learn the languages. I just be a man of the worlds. I travel around. The One MI guys have become my best mates. We all meet up at least once a month for a week. It's amazing. So it's just 3 weeks of locking in somewhere, going there. My whole life now is pretty much in Spain anyway. I mean, I've got friends like Rob Lipset that's in Marbella. He's built a beautiful life. I was speaking to him the other day and he was like, yeah, the schools are great. There's no trouble. I was there the other day down at a place called Cappuccino and I was like, my God, I love this. I was like, this is beautiful. This is really nice. And it wasn't like, I don't like Port Benus. I don't like Dubai. I don't like that sort of thing. But there was a nice side of Marbella and it was relaxing. And my heart was beating slower. I was less stressed. And I don't mind the cold weather. Like I said, it doesn't bother me, but it's coming. It's coming for the next 4, 5, 6 months. And on top of that, if the country continues the way it's going with the shitty weather, with the miserable faces, and I didn't tell you my second story. So this is when my dad's story rang through my ears. I got on the train to come back and I'd just been in Europe. I'd just been in Spain mainly for 5, 6 weeks, living a lovely life, no crime. Everything was amazing with all the guys, time of my life. I get on the train in the UK and there's two drunk guys next to me. They sounded Russian or Polish. They were drunk, down in alcohol, down in vodka, laughing their heads off being loud. They stank as well of piss. There was a guy sat in front of them, scratching his neck. It looked like he was on drugs. He was going like that, like some rabbit with myxomatosis. And I was just like, I didn't see any of this. And like, I consider myself quite a tough individual. And I was like, I actually feel quite unsettled here compared to what I've been used to for the last few months. I'm not prepared for this. And then as I was walking through the stations, I was getting bumped into. And I realized, I was like, I'm moving at Granada pace. I'm moving slowly, which isn't a good thing because it lowers your money. However, I was like, I think I've got the balance right now. I think I'm on top of what I need to have. And I think my business can be elsewhere. But everyone was stressed. Everyone was tired. And everyone was like, wow, you look so tanned. You look so healthy and well rested. And I was like, yeah, I feel it as well. I just feel really chilled. We made the most money we've ever made. And I was like, I think it's a byproduct of just feeling good about yourself. Do you know what I mean? I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. Things just came together and I was like, yeah, I'm 33 years old now. I think I don't need it anymore. I don't need the stress. I don't need what's going on in this country. And like I said, a year ago, 9 months ago, I loved it here. It was perfect. It was everything I ever needed. But they've ruined it. They have ruined it. And it's just like, I'm not going to suffer anymore. And it's, I'm going to be selfish for one of the first times properly in my life, and I'm going to go and do what's right for me and my business, and I just need a phone and a laptop. That's all I need, and maybe this camera and multiple bank accounts. Like, it's so easy, and I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, my bills, I could be saving $7,000 a month. We've got some massive construction plans coming up. We've got the Barcelona VIP seats. My life's about to be incredible, and I'm just like, I don't need to be here anymore. So yeah, it's a shame, guys. I do feel like I'm leaving the Brits behind. Anybody who's watching this who's English, but you're probably having the same idea as me. And if you had the money I had, you'd probably leave. So it's like, what am I doing? I might as well get out of here. Might as well go and have a nice life. So yeah, it's a shame. I'm going to make 51 more videos plus the vlogs. I'll schedule them all. You'll be seeing me sat in this spot for another year, which would be weird if the owners who move in here see it. But yeah. That's going to be my plan. And within 2 months, I think December 1st, I'm just going to leave and just go from there and just be nomadic. Just live out of a suitcase. Just travel from place to place. Keep your bills low. Enjoy myself. Reinvest even more into the business now that it's thriving. Sales system is immaculate. I encourage you guys to go and check out the website. If you've got the money to join 1MI, guys, honestly, I encourage you. Sign up now. I've never said that to you, but it's life-changing. It is life-changing. You will join. Look, if you join and within a week you're like, it's not for me, I'll give you your money back. I just don't care because I just know it's not going to happen. Like, you're going to come in and you're going to go, fuck me, this is the best business I've ever been a part of. How is it this good? And I've experienced the same thing. 1MI has changed my life so much, it's made me leave here. That's pretty much it. The only reason I was in Marrakesh and Bali, the only reason I was in Budapest with the guys, the only reason I'm going to the next two locations is because of 1MI. The only reason I've been to Granada, Madrid, Barcelona and stuff and got the VIP seats is 1MI. And it's just changed my life. It's just shown me what else is available for me, how else I could be living. And I'm just like, my life's amazing. I'm not going to suffer anymore. So yeah, I'm leaving a lot behind here. There's some, you know, the restaurants are incredible. you know, like I've always said to you guys, you've got some of the best people in the world that are all congregated here, but they're all slowly leaving. Everybody I speak to. We got back to the airport, me and one of the 1MI members, and a guy in front of us went in a Cockney accent. He was like, yeah, UK's finished, mate, to this bloke. He was like, get the fuck out of here while you can. Then I get back to the desk here in this building, and the guy goes, you're back. I was like, why'd you say that? He was like, I honestly just thought you were going to stay away forever. He was like, this place has gone to shit since you've been away. And I was like, yeah, what is it? And he said, it's like the riots and stuff, they've got worse. Like, he said, it's just become so racist. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why I'm back. He said, I just went to New York for a week. He said, the culture's different. Everyone's ambitious. Everyone wants you to win. And I was like, yeah, I'm starting to notice that. And then there's an estate agent that actually gave me this place. There's two of them. And they showed me around this place. And she actually sold it to me. And she was showing people around this house. And she went, oh my God, you're leaving. She was like, so like full circle to see you here now. I hope you had a good time. She was like, why are you leaving, could I ask? And where are you going next? And I was like, everywhere. And I just told her this story. And she said, do you know what? She's from Bulgaria, I think. And she said, I'm out of here too. She was like, I'm just going to give it a few more months and I'm out of here. She was like, I'm thinking, what am I doing here anymore? She was like, it was great when I first moved here, but it's just gone to shit. And it's, guys, it's just such a shame. It is such a shame. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because you guys know I love this place. I still think London is top two places in the world. I'm just a forward thinker, as I am with my businesses. I'm always ahead of the game with Male Advantage and 1MI and everything that I do. And I'm ahead with crypto. I told you guys about SNX Synthetics. It exploded in the last 2 weeks. I told you about Solana. It exploded as well. I'm always ahead of the game on things. I always see them before they happen. I predict things. And I think in 3 to 5 years, this place is going to be a fucking shit show. And I'm sad to say it, but I really think it is. And I'm going to get out of Dodge while I can, because I just don't. I don't think they're going to let people leave before long. I think they're going to have like a clamp tax where if you leave, you have to pay like $100,000 penalty or something. So I'm like, I'm going to get out while I can, while we're free. This is a sinking ship. I think the UK is about to go through the worst 20-year period it's ever seen. And I'm out. And this isn't me trying to spread negative propaganda. I love this place. I think when it's at its best, it's one of the best places that's ever existed. It's done. It's cooked. And I think it's a good time to end the video. And yeah, my dad was right.